Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Thanks, Robbie. It's a little something there. Rob Thomas? I love Rob Thomas. Right time and place, context. Sure. Welcome in to the Mully and Haw Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network. I am Mark Grody, and I believe, Ruthie, that the people have tuned in at the right time because it is time for a thorough Bears report.
I love it. Let's go.
There was practice yesterday. There was full availability. There was locker room. I was there, so I want to bring it all to you. The Bears are at the Green Bay Packers on Sunday, who the team that was the fourth straight loss of this 10-game nightmare. It was the Carl Brooks blocking Cairo Santos field goal attempt. You should have won that game. A couple of notes. Roma Dunze out sick yesterday. Larry Borum ill yesterday. Something's going around. Elijah Hicks was out. Travis Homer was out, and Tevin Jenkins did not practice because of his calf injury. The audio was good yesterday. I think that's why we're doing a Bears report right now. And I want to start with, we've been talking about this a lot this morning, Jalen Johnson yesterday was front and center. There's a report that came from the Bears pregame show last week with Ryan Poles indicating that some of the issues that the Bears have had can be connected back to training camp habits and things that were not formed that led maybe to a slow start, to a 10-game losing streak, to slow starts in individual games. And Jalen Johnson was asked all about that, and I think this will be a very fulfilling answer to a lot of people.
Do you kind of know if that's not built in training camp, it's going to be hard to adjust to that in season?
I'm going to say in the moment, no. I think looking back at it 2020, you could say, yeah, those things came back to bite us in the end. But I think in the moment, those are – you kind of have a certain level of expectation that's going to get fixed, I would say. So, I mean, when – I mean, just no matter who it is, if it's O-line, D-line jumping off or whatever it may be, it's like, oh, we say something in hopes that it gets corrected. But, I mean, it's not like we in that moment think that's going to hurt us in the long run. But, I mean, of course, potentially if you don't get it fixed, it definitely can. So, I think just little things, again, that we weren't doing well, that we weren't sharp on during camp, definitely came back to expose us a little bit.
Are there things that, like, when you go, I know training camp's a long way away right
yeah.
now, but, like, there's stuff that you're going to be cognizant of, knowing how it hurt you guys this year, like, if you see it, nip it in the bud, like, immediately next year?
It's funny because I think it's not a lack, or it hasn't been a lack of nipping it in the bud. I think it's more so a certain level of intensity with it, and I think that starts also, I think, at the top as well. I think it's easy for a player to cuss a guy out. I mean, that's one thing, but I feel like there has to be a certain level of consequence to certain things that I feel like is something to be done in the future. So, I mean, and there's just little things. I mean, certain penalties are going to happen, but I think you can't let certain patterns go. And I think just top to bottom, that's something we all got to be cognizant of and really get on each other about it.
So, Jalen, what does that look like? What does consequence look like in the things you're talking about?
Not playing. To me, that's the ultimate thing. I mean, you can't find somebody for jumping off sides, I'd say. But just, I think playing time is the best way to get somebody's attention. So, I mean, it's just little details, not knowing your assignments, missing a certain assignment. I mean, to me, I know if I miss an assignment and somebody else plays, that's the automatic fix for myself because there's a certain level of consequence. So, to me, that's the biggest thing that can be done.
Strong words from Jalen Johnson there, man. Level intensity, level of consequence, and not playing.
I want to be like, who are you talking about, Jalen?
Yeah.
Just tell me.
I know. I mean, since this report came out, I've needed more. I've needed follow-ups, and there'll be something that we'll get to ask Ryan Poles more about, like what specifically was going on in training camp. Where does this come from? Where is this?
Like, I need examples, you know, and yeah. I don't know if we'll ever get those, but I want to hear what are you talking? It's so vague, mm-hmm. but it's so specific. And you just want more from that.
Well, what I've learned about Jalen Johnson from being on The Score and on the afternoon show is that he is different from others. Like, he wants accountability more than anybody. I mean, I hear him oftentimes allude to, you know, him doing the extra work and indicating that others aren't necessarily. Like, they do what they're supposed to do, but they don't do that little bit of extra. That seems to bug Jalen Johnson a lot. And look, this is the level of intensity, the level of consequences, like none of that. And I think this goes to, again, and this is at this point we're piling on. It goes to the coaches. It goes to Matt Eberflus. Yeah. It goes to Shane Waldron. It goes to Eric Washington. All of these coaches, for some reason, that level of intensity, that level of consequence was non-existent on this team for most of the year. And maybe still it's not there.
Yeah, to me it all stems from Matt Eberflus and maybe just kind of the way that he was operating the staff and what he wanted them to emphasize. Like, this all falls back on the head coach to me and saying, like, this is the way we're going to do things here. And it's up to you and your meeting rooms to emphasize X, Y, and Z and to call people out and to, this is how I want to run our team. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the job of the head coach, is to instill a culture.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a drill sergeant. You don't have to be like, it doesn't have to be like a mean coach who disciplines everybody.
But this sounds like, you know, there are ends of the spectrum of like drill sergeant and like not doing anything as a head coach. And like, it feels like they were in the middle, if not even close to the way Jalen's talking. It's like, people are just la-di-da. Like,
yeah. I mean, you have a player saying, where's the consequences? Bench their asses.
Right.
Don't let them play.
And you wonder, to Tyreek Stevenson, that's kind of my first thought. And, you know, obviously they didn't start him in the Arizona game, but then Terrell Smith gets hurt and he goes in and like two series later or whatever it was. And I don't know. And that's his, you know, they're in the room together. I think he's seeing what's going on there. I wonder. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's great. Right. This is, as we said, this is a story with holes in it right now. But Jalen Johnson giving an interesting answer to it. Here's one more cut from Jalen Johnson. And this was probably one of the, I know Ruthie was criticizing the media yesterday for not asking enough questions.
Stop it. Don't say that. I was not criticizing the media. I am the media.
I wasn't there yesterday,
but I'm not saying that the media wasn't doing their job by not asking about the game this weekend, because no one cares about the game this weekend. But I just think from a coach and a player and a messaging standpoint, every answer to the questions about, what do you think about the next head coach? What do you think about this? From a team standpoint, I want to hear the players being like, honestly, guys, like, we have a game to play.
Yeah.
All I care about right now is beating Green Bay and Lambeau Field and ending the season on a high note, because we've lost 10 straight games and I'm embarrassed. I was nationally embarrassed on TV in Seattle on Thursday Night Football. And all I care about today is the Green Bay Packers and beating them.
Well,
and no one said that yesterday.
No, you're right. Except for Jalen Johnson had a version of it, and
yes,
since he swore, he used the F word. I'm just going to tell you that because it was bleeped out. I just think you need that kind of thing. You need to hear that in your own ear. Jalen Johnson on the Packers game.
What's your mindset this week, just going into the final week of the season?
Awesome. That's how I'm feeling. I mean, I'm going to try to go out with a bang. So, I mean, it's last opponent on the schedule, so I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Did you think that does provide maybe a little extra motivation for a team that's been losing a lot this one last game?
What provides motivation?
The last game, one last chance to go to the show, especially if you're playing the Packers too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be a long time coming since we get another opportunity to play, so I mean, you got to make the most of it.
Are you sensing that your teammates also want to go out with a bang?
Yeah, we all on the same page.
Yeah. You like that, yeah, at the end, did you, Ruthie?
I did.
Yeah.
I mean, and his face was funny, too.
Was that fulfilling for you, by the way? Is that what you needed?
Hey, by the way, Jalen Johnson, Pro Bowl selection.
What?
Jalen Johnson, this season's Pro Bowl roster. Adam Schefter just tweeted it out. Let's see.
Hit it. What do you got?
Please hold.
Please hold. I would say that this is breaking news on The Score. We've got a Pro Bowl roster here from Adam Schefter. Breaking news on 670. The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Do you have it?
Courtney Cronin, Jalen Johnson is the sole Pro Bowl selection for the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. All right. There you go. There you go. Now will he be all pro? But that's cool. All right. I'm trying to think in my head, like, is there anybody?
There he is. I got it.
Is there anybody else? I mean, maybe TJ Edwards. I don't know. I think TJ Edwards has been good relative to the Bears. Maybe not necessarily to the rest of the league. I'm just trying to think of other guys that could have potentially been on that list. And there's really no, like, I'm thinking through
it
their
should
star.
Only been Jalen Johnson. No one else has earned a
I mean, there's nobody. I mean, mm-hmm. I can think in my head, like there's isn't that crazy? Like, when you do the exercise of who's had a good season for the Bears, it's really difficult. Jalen Johnson, TJ Edwards, and that's it.
There's not even a single person on the fringe. Like, I think it's just him, and then, that's the only person.
Right, he's not
right. The drop-off is pretty brutal.
Yeah, it is. All right, so Jalen Johnson is a Pro Bowler for the Chicago
Very
Bears.
Very timely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That announcement.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about Jalen, and there it was. So I hope that gave you some fulfillment.
I hate to tell you this. One of the Pro Bowl quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, he deserves it. Hey, I have no problem saying Jaden Daniels has been better than Caleb Williams this year.
Oh, and then the other two are in the division. So Sam Darnold and Jared Goff.
Of course. And if you didn't hear, the Minnesota Vikings per Adam Schefter are definitely taking phone calls on J.J. McCarthy. And I thought Biggs brought up a good point. I mean, if Sam Darnold takes them to the NFC title game or maybe even the Super Bowl, how the hell do you explain that to your organization? Like, mm-hmm. Yep, we're bringing in J.J. McCarthy now. He's going to be our quarterback, which might still happen. But, I mean, I guess that would be a real test to or ode to Kevin O'Connell. And can he just make any quarterback look magical in that offense? But I think that is worthy of our Bears report.
I'm just thinking about this in my head right now, looking at this. Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, the NFC quarterbacks going the Pro Bowl. I hope that Caleb Williams is looking at this and he is so mad.
Yes.
It's the guy taken after you in the draft.
Oh my God.
And the other two quarterbacks in your division.
It's like, unbelievable.
I hope he is so mad and so motivated. Almost cursed, I didn't, but
did you say Jordan Love? Is Jordan Love in too?
No. Okay. No. But Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff.
That's unbelievable.
But if Jordan Love doesn't go,
he'll probably be an alternate.
He could be an alternate, right?
Alternate.
Who else in the NFC?
Oh man.
I mean, this is a game we could play, but it's fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking of the division. Like, that is like, that's a real moment that all of the with the exception in the division of one quarterback that they're all in, except for Jordan Love. So
good for Jaden Daniels, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on. No, that was great.
We went on a tangent there. I interrupted.
That was awesome. Let's go to the Bears quarterback. Everything is working out perfectly here. Caleb Williams was asked about the dysfunctional season that the Bears have had. And it is fair to point out, I don't know if I left the question in here or not, it is fair that the person who asked the question did use the word dysfunctional in the question. Here's Caleb Williams on that.
Bears, before the Bears drafted you, you know, they're researching you, but you're also researching them.
Yep.
And you had said that you wanted some explanations for why it hadn't worked out for other quarterbacks, or you wanted to learn about that. When you get into the season here and there's been a lot of dysfunction and coaches fired, do you sit here at all and say, this is exactly what I was worried about coming here?
It's not exactly what I was worried about, but there's been things where, like the dysfunction or coaches being fired. Yes, it's been tough and challenging, when you have to come in here and learn a whole new type of system and all these different things, and then you have multitude of different things that happen, whether it's coach has been fired or coach has been promoted, and a bunch of different things. And so you know, I think you know, being able to go through this and being able to have this dysfunctional year in a sense of coaches and all of that, not winning as much as, you know, we wanted to. You know, I think it's going to be better for myself and better for us. But you know, I wouldn't say this is exactly what I was, you know, looking at or looking for or anything like that.
I did think it was interesting, and I thought it was important, as you and I talked about, to make it clear that the questioner was asking, said the word dysfunction, but Caleb Williams in that used the word dysfunction twice. So he's like right on with it, whether he wants it or not. He got a full face of Bears dysfunction this year.
Welcome to the NFL. You know, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about that. I know we're so in it because we're here and the Bears have struggled for so long, but it's not great everywhere, you know? And I just think obviously we as a community, society, as a media community, like, and the Bears really kind of pumped this narrative too, that Caleb Williams was walking into the best situation for a number one overall pick ever. It was the greatest. And like, it's not great when you have the number one overall pick. And I know that was from a trade from another team, but they had the number one pick the year before and then got the, like, there is a reason that the Bears were where they were. And a lot of number one overall picks have to deal with it. Look at Bryce Young. I mean, it's not great everywhere. So the word dysfunction is triggering, but I also think it's happening in a lot of different places.
Oh,
and
yeah, we're in our Bears bubble. There's no doubt.
It's a Bears bubble, and Caleb Williams, like, I agree with him. Like, he thinks this is going to make him better. Well, it better, right?
Yeah. I just feel like I want to say sorry to him. I just feel a little bit like...
Don't feel sorry.
Yeah, like, sorry about, okay. Sorry about all this, man. I'm like, sorry I had to witness all this and be a part. But guess what? He is a part of it now, and I don't have sympathy for him because some of the issues are because of Caleb Williams. My favorite Caleb cut of the day is this one. It came up, the question about, he's been sacked 67 times this year. How much is it on him? How much is it on the offensive line? And he went to bat for his offensive line, and I think he wanted to swear.
I think throughout this year, there's been a stupid... Excuse my language, but a stupid...
Hold on a second, Robbie. I love that. Like, he went
stupid.
To the ends of... I want to know what other words went through his head before he decided on stupid. What word was he really wanting to use there? I just love it. I love it. He went through all that and came up with stupid. Carry on, Robbie.
Idea behind my offensive lineman. I will say that there's been... yes, everybody gives up sacks. Everybody messes up. Everybody misses a block. Everybody drops a pass. Everybody throws a pick. I got six, and I got a couple fumbles and things like that. So, you know, the connotation behind, you know, my offense line has been annoying and frustrating because you know, they work their tail off to be able to go out there and you know, the guys that, whether you know, guys are fighting injuries, whether guys are can't play and we got other guys stepping up, or whether guys, you know, been playing the whole season. And so you know, the negative connotation behind them, they come in here and work their butt off each day and each week. You know, I've taken sacks, yes. You know, a good amount have been on me, whether it's small, you know, small things of getting the ball out of my hands, and you know, just maybe dirting it, you know, maybe not trying to find the you know, the perfect route, perfect play, all of that for, you know, that situation. Maybe it's just throwing it, throwing out of bounds, dirting it, finding the check down faster. And then the other one was just not trying to make plays all the time, and understanding that. So, like I said, the and I don't misjudge words. The stupid connotation behind my offensive line being bad is not the truth. I've taken a good amount of sacks that have been on my fault, been my fault, and you know, and a couple throughout that last game were mine, like the one in empty where I believe I'm trying to remember what number sacked me, but you know, didn't make the easy you know, flipper check, and that guy blitzed and tried to make a play, and you know, and took a sack instead of okay, I messed up and didn't make the flipper check, throw it out of bounds over the dude's head, or over the hot, you know, the hot or check down's head. And so you know, took a 14-yard sack on that one, I think it was, and put us in a bad situation. So there's been many times this season where, yes, you know, people have given up sacks, sure, and then you know, myself is completely a part of that.
Why do you think you've taken those sacks this year? Is it a matter of learning defenses?
It's a matter of you know, getting better with a multitude of things, of getting better with throwing the ball out of bounds. You know, there's been many times where my right arm is free and I can, you know, chuck it out instead of trying to make a play. There's been many times where, you know, a free guy comes and that happens. And you know, getting better at, you know, just not trying to, you know, hold in there and find the, you know, I may see space and, you know, try and rip a pass and instead of just finding the check down. So those are just, you know, two examples of reasons of why. But definitely something to go back and reflect on and learn and come back, whether it's this game or next year, and be better at that.
I like how he was so specific in owning it. So many times you'll hear coaches and players take blame for things in a disingenuous way without giving specific examples. Coaches do it all the time. Matt Eberflus did it. Thomas Brown has done it. Blame it on me. Blame it on me. It's my fault. It starts with me. Well, what specifically started with you? There's Caleb Williams owning it, giving specific examples, not completely exonerating his offensive line, saying, yeah, they're going to give up some sacks. But then he goes on to specifically own it and to call everybody stupid twice.
The stupid narrative. Me and Caleb Williams, we don't like the media. No, I'm just kidding. Just
yeah, well, you just,
no, I'm teasing. Yeah, I am
really very critical of the Bears media.
No,
I'm kidding.
Stop it. It's just, yeah. No, I have a lot of respect for the way Caleb Williams answered that. It felt authentic.
Yes.
And I appreciate it. And as we talked about earlier, I think that was a teaching point this week for Thomas Brown, because he talked about it on Monday very publicly and said, you know, this isn't on the offense. This isn't all on the offensive line. And then for Caleb to come out on Wednesday and sort of reiterate that message made me feel like that was a point of emphasis from the head coach, who is also the offensive play caller and working very closely with the quarterback. So good for Caleb Williams. I'd love to see an improvement this week.
But, yeah,
I mean, you have an opportunity to show us you learned from that. So
yes.
Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle game was a bad game for Caleb. So it would be not, yeah, it would in regards like people who wouldn't want to see him sit out this game or even bring that possibility up, which I think is absolutely ridiculous because these are hugely, every game is hugely important. He's an adult. He'll be fine. And you just let him go all out and hopefully he'll have a good game. When we come back here on our Bears report, I was at Hallis Hall yesterday, and we're going to bring you more from Caleb Williams, such as what does he want influence in whomever the next head coach is, and what does he value most in a head coach? We'll also hear from Thomas Brown, the Bears interim coach, and Cole Kmet, who won an award yesterday at Hallis Hall. It's all coming up on the Mully and Haw Show with Mark Grody and Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network. On the
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Mully and Haw. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
The Bears.
Bears. Welcome back into the Mully and Haw Show. I am Mark Grody along with Ruthie Polinsky of the Chicago Sports Network. And this is, you have tuned in at the exact right time because we are going through a Bears report, some of the best audio from yesterday, and it was a good day for a holiday, for a New Year's Day. It was really good, and I want to play a cut for you guys now from Caleb Williams about how much influence he might want in a new head coach.
whatever I guess they allow. I know that I'm a rookie and a young guy. So if they make decisions without me, I mean, you know, that's their job to make decisions and make those type of decisions. And so if they make a decision like that, just hope and believe, you know, that in faith that, you know, those guys upstairs, that they make the right decisions. You know, that's that. And then, you know, if I'm a part of it, then great.
Ruthie, I heard that as he said it. Like, I believe what he said. I don't think he is that interested at this point in his career in having that responsibility in any way, shape, or form on his shoulders.
I disagree with you. Mm. When I listen to him, I hear him say, as much as they allow, I think that's him saying, I want to be a part of this.
I'll take whatever you allow me.
If you allow me to be a part of this, I will be. Mm. And I don't know if that's the correct approach because he's 22 years old and he's a rookie or coming off a rough rookie season. And then you're opening a very slippery slope for Jalen Johnson being like, you're going to ask the quarterback, but you're not going to ask me. Like the other DJ Moore, you're not going to ask DJ Moore. You're not going to ask, you know, any of the other quote unquote leaders of this team, Montez Sweat. Like TJ Edwards, like I just worry about what that door opens to only ask the quarterback. Like he's not the only person that matters. Do I think that in Ryan Poles' exit interview with Caleb Williams, will he say, what do you want in a head coach? What do you need in a head coach?
Yeah, that's
and
fair.
For Ryan Poles to write that down and say, all right, those are things that I'm going to be looking for when I'm interviewing these guys. I will ask these guys about this. But Ryan Poles, I think, will ultimately, and whoever else is a part of the decision-making, you know, process, Kevin Warren, George McCaskey, they will then make that decision on their own without Caleb Williams like sitting at the table, like questioning the head coach. Like I don't think that's appropriate.
I think there's been, you know, one of the themes of this year's team, there's probably been too much player empowerment, as much as we all like it, because the players are willing to play ball with the media just a little bit more. But yeah, you can't give too much power to any player in any locker room in any sport. Yeah, out of respect, you do it with veteran players, and I'm sure that there have been quarterbacks who have had some say, who have earned it. Caleb Williams has not earned that right to be in the room at this point or have say. He has to, unfortunately, and I know a lot of Bears fans are like, man, you trust the Bears to get this right? Not necessarily. But I also don't trust a 22 or 23-year-old kid who doesn't know the league yet and doesn't understand the league yet. So I think you've got to completely separate Caleb Williams from any decision-making or, quite frankly, input.
Caleb Williams doesn't know what he doesn't know, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of where I keep coming back to is there is a lot of things for this young man to learn. And I think he's the number one overall pick. He's generational talent. He could potentially be the next Patrick Mahomes. Whatever you want to say about him, yes, and he's got a lot to learn.
Yes, he does. One more from Caleb Williams before we get to Thomas Brown and Nicole Kmet. On what Caleb Williams values most in a prospective head coach?
A coach that challenges myself, whether it's offense coordinator, head coach, challenges myself, but also challenges, you know, us as players. Whether it's on the field or character, doesn't matter. Just a coach that challenges us. A man of his word. A disciplined coach, meaning whatever his rules are, or whatever he's going to bring rule wise, or how he's going to, you know, control the team and manage and, you know, control the team, things like that. I would say, another one would be, just a guy that wants to win, and finding and helping and, you know, finding ways and helping us players and helping coaches or whatever case was to just, pull out wins. Throughout the season, whether it's a tough win or we blow out somebody, just helping us and finding ways to win.
Yeah, the end of that I thought was kind of filler because, of course, every coach is going to come in hot wanting to win. But I heard him when he was talking about somebody that challenges most and somebody that brings discipline into that locker room. Even a guy who was in the first year of the NFL probably understood that things were a little bit too lax and that was not good for this particular team.
The phrase that stuck out to me, and maybe I'm reading into this, man of his word.
Mm.
That was the second thing he said. I want someone that challenges myself and the players.
Yeah.
I want someone that challenges us, and I want a man of his word. And then he moved on. And I'm like,
he's been hurt before. Want somebody who will be truthful. Is that what you're saying?
That's an interesting description of something you want in a head coach, a man of his word.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? Is it someone who's, you know, practicing what they're preaching? Is it someone who's, you know, holding themselves accountable? Are those things that he didn't experience this year? Man of his word.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let's go back here.
A man of his word.
Does this go back to training camp too? Is this another training camp mystery? Who burned Caleb Williams? Who hurt him?
Who lied to him?
Who lied to him? Who hurt? Probably Shane Waldron. I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of gave me a head turn. I was like, yeah. A man of his word.
You told me I could throw interceptions and now I'm not allowed to?
Right. No, it's interesting. That's the one thing that stood out to me. A guy that wants to win. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think of it, discipline was interesting. Like rules, we're going to follow his rules. You hear this sort of discussion of, do you want a player's coach or do you want a disciplinarian? And what's the balance between the two, right? Like what makes a good coach? I don't know if there's an answer for that.
Right.
But this team, I think right now, like you need discipline.
Yeah.
After listening to Jalen Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
After listening
to Caleb
Williams.
He wants accountability. He wants people benched. Jalen Johnson said he wants people benched.
Sit down.
Yeah, sit your ass down. I also leave open the possibility, Ruthie, that Caleb is just saying stuff like,
totally.
What
and
do
this
I
is
value?
Me, right? Like just in my head, right? Like just blowing this up.
Of course.
And what do I value in a leader, a man, whatever?
Yeah,
it doesn't
what would
necessarily
you say?
Mean.
I'd right. probably rattle off all the same stuff, yeah. too. I want somebody who wants to
Don't
win.
Lie to me, please.
I want a little discipline in my life.
In all my relationships.
That's right.
All I ask is you don't lie.
Right.
You know, stay true to your word.
I'll take that. Have you lied yet today, Ruthie?
Yeah, about the media.
Stop it. I don't like this joke. It's not funny.
she just lied because it's really funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
I'm saying it as I smile and laugh and giggle.
You just got yourself another lie.
No, I was not blaming the media.
Well, you got mad at us because we didn't ask about the Bears-Packers game.
I didn't mean that there weren't any questions about it, but there was no discussion of it whatsoever. And to me, it's more blaming sort of the Bears' organizational structure of not in beating that into everyone's head. Like the message this week is beating the Packers. And guess what? Like maybe if you just tell everyone that you want to beat the Packers, like you actually convince yourself that you want to beat the Packers.
Right.
And maybe, God forbid, we go do it.
Oh my
and like,
God.
It's just, you know, it's just, it's not that hard to just be like, hey guys, this is the like team meeting, right? Like here's the message this week. We're not talking about next year. We're not talking about the offseason. Cause guess what? There's no guarantee that any of us are going to be here next year. Like, this is your chance to go out there and prove it. And all we care about this week is beating Green Bay.
Yes.
And to me, this is something I've kind of been talking about the last, you know, 10 weeks. The lack of attention to detail in the organization is, I think, their biggest problem. What is the messaging from the top down from day one? And I've talked about it a few times today, but working in Rhode Island, I covered the Patriots for 3 seasons. And that was the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era of their like communications and media part of that organization was so polished.
Yeah.
There were so few, you know, slip ups that I think it worked. I think it works for you. If you're controlling the message about what's important to the organization in every present moment of time, like that actually leads to winning sometimes.
Yeah. No, no doubt.
And God forbid you try it. I mean, it's like, and listen, Jalen talked about the Packers, so I don't want to say no one's talking about it, but it's like even Cole Kmet's press conference on Monday, all the questions about, you know, the offseason and the head coaching search and all that stuff. And it's like, I just want one person to be like, guys, I just want to beat the Packers.
Yeah.
This week.
I do like the way you talk. I am threatening to do what I did for the Detroit game on Thanksgiving Day. For the first time in my life, I put money on a Bears game. I picked the Bears to win that game on Thanksgiving Day, and I almost came up gold. I'm thinking about betting on the Bears just for the hell of it this Sunday.
Oh, God bless you.
And you have moved me. You have motivated me. You have clarified things for me.
Why? I just told you what they're doing wrong.
Well, no, but earlier you picked the Bears to win. So
no, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. She didn't.
Now we're lying. Bears now here comes wrong the again. Lies. I did not pick the Bears to win. I would love for them to go out there and win.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now I'm confused.
Because the irony of it would just be perfect.
Yeah. All right, Bopper over there is getting mad. I got to take a break here. Yeah, we got to take a...
Also, just give me your money. Like instead of betting, I'll just take the money. Like it's going to the same place.
And don't blame Ruthie if the Bears don't win.
No, I'm not going to
I just lost some money because she told me...
I'm getting blamed for everything.
You are.
That's all right. I'll take it.
You know what? It's the 33rd anniversary of the score today. So we're
happy birthday.
This is what we do at the score. We take things out of context. We misquote you. I've been told that Chris Tannehill's going to have a 2-hour open today for the show. He does his usual Tanny's open, which is usually, you know, a few minutes or so.
Yeah.
He's going to do a 2-hour open today. So that is something to look forward to as well. When we come back, we didn't hear. We'll see if we have time to hear from Thomas Brown and Cole Kmet, but we do want to ask you, since today is the 33rd anniversary of the score, if you have a favorite score moment, whether recent, whether in the Wayback Machine, love to hear about it. 312-644-6767 is the number. I will give you some of my favorite score moments as well when we return here on the Mully and Haw Show, featuring the non-lying. She doesn't lie, folks.
She's a truth teller.
She is a truth teller.
Ruth the Truth.
Ruth the Truth. I love it on the score.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Jalen Johnson is a Pro Bowler. He's the only Bear going. There are 5 Vikings going, including Sam Darnold. There are 7 Lions going, including Jared Goff. There are 3 Green Bay Packers going. As of right now, Jordan Love is not a Pro Bowler, but just my guess, just because it would be just perfect for the Bears, he'll end up being an alternate quarterback selection to the Pro Bowl, so Caleb will be the only quarterback in the division that doesn't go. Today is the 33rd anniversary of this here radio station, The Score. I'm Mark Grody along with Ruthie Polinsky as we are in for Mully and Haw today. So we're going to kind of go around the room here. Favorite score moments. No doubt about it, for me, like from a professional standpoint, how can I not say being part of the Cubs broadcast team in 2016 when they won the World Series? So actually being in the booth and getting to do the pregame show and the postgame show and the rain delay show and all of that was an absolute thrill for me professionally. I would say, though, what I got more even enjoyment out of, though, were my many conversations with Les Grobstein through the years, including this little ditty right here.
Mark, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Les. What is all of this Arlington Heights Bears stuff? It sounds like you're printing up AH hats already.
People keep coming up with what are they going to call them? And the answer is they're going to be the Chicago Bears. Period. Let me again repeat. You have 2 teams in New Jersey. Do they call themselves the Meadowlands Giants and Jets or the New Jersey Giants? No, they're the New York Giants.
But what
New
if
York
that's
Jets.
One of the parts of the deal? What if that, like, what if Arlington Heights is the only way you can come here is if we put that
they
AH
can't.
On the hat?
Mark, the NFL will never allow that to happen.
Oh, you don't think
it's
the NFL
all a
would
marketing
allow.
Thing? Do you think that they're going to. What's on the side of the Bears' helmets?
Well, there is a C right now, but I'm just saying maybe they
they're not going to be called the Arlington Heights Bears. People have to understand that. Anybody who thinks otherwise. Now, you sometimes like to come on here and just kind of make waves, whatever. I get what you're doing. Don't buy into it, Mark.
That's not my thing. I don't know what he's talking about. Ruthie, how have you taken in the score? I know you've only been here for a short period of time, but...
Well, I'll follow your lead and kind of talk about sort of professionally for me. I had been a guest on radio stations in my career before. You know, you had me on your evening shows to talk about the Bears and covering the team. I've always kind of been from that perspective, but couple months ago, I think it was in September, Shane Reardon sent me a text, was like, you know, they were kind of, when Danny left for Fox, like they were kind of just having people fill in with Park, with Spiegs. And Shane Reardon texted me, got my number, texted me. He's like, you want to come co-host with Spiegs? And I was like, Yeah, are you sure? I'd never done anything like it before. And I had the best time, ended up doing it a few more times with Spiegs. And then sort of as I transitioned to Chicago Sports Network, the morning shift worked out really well for me. And so Mitch Rosen and all you guys have welcomed me here back on the morning show for a couple of fill-ins. And it's just been such a blast. It's so fun to be able to sit here for 4.5 hours and just shoot the you-know-what. So I'm so grateful. It's just such a cool opportunity, and the reach of this thing, and the joy that this station has brought me, like since my transition to Chicago, has been just like, I can't even put words to it. So it's so cool to be a part of it. And I'm so grateful to the listeners and to everyone who's just been so supportive and welcoming. And
Root the truth. Bopper. Truthy. What do you got over there?
So I'm not here. I'm from Michigan. So yeah. For the past year and a half, I've been absorbing the score, and I absolutely love this place. And there's so many clips that are on YouTube if you have the chance to do anything with Bob and Niles. I love that. And there's a Who You Crappin' where Tanny shoots and drops a nuke on Mike or Mike in the West Side 3 times. It's amazing.
Alex?
Yeah, mine's also a caller to Boers and Bernstein. And it was Jimmy from Elmwood Park who got into an argument with Dan about like Little League football and head trauma. And Jimmy was like, well, we can't have all our kids in the book club. And Dan's like, wait, the book club? What's wrong with reading? And they got into a back and forth about whether reading is actively bad for you.
Well, what do you mean, what's wrong with books? What's wrong with playing football?
Happy birthday to the score, 33 years old today. We got Brian Baldinger talking Bears next on The Great Score.